Well, welcome to City First Church. Thank you guys so much for being here. Happy Father's Day. I want to echo what we've already said, but dads, we honor you. You play such an important role, and we celebrate you today. So one more time, come on, let's put our hands together for all the dads in the house. We're very excited that you are here. We love you very much. We have this series we're in called Questions Jesus Asked, and in the four Gospels, we know that he asked a recorded 307 questions. Probably he asked actually more questions than that, but we only have recorded 307 of them. And guess what? This month, we are going to be just tackling a handful of them, and we are going to focus on the questions, important questions, that Jesus asked. I mean, I say, why questions instead of statements? Well, arguments, which seems to be kind of the currency of today's communication in our culture, arguments may form your opinions, but questions will expand your thinking. And Jesus asked diagnostic questions that are relevant not just 2,000 years ago, but also to us here today. But before I jump into the question that we're going to focus on from Jesus today, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask what you are afraid of. What are you afraid of, really? What are you afraid of? Now, some of you might go spiders, snakes, IRS, whatever. I don't know. But I would say, is there something that concerns you on a daily basis? Like, in other words, you carry it. It's the thing you think about before you go to bed. It's the first thing you think of when you wake up. And if you wake up sometime in between, let's say 2:30 in the morning, all of a sudden your mind starts thinking about that. What is that? What are you afraid of, anxious of, concerned with? And here, some of you might say, well, I'm not really afraid of anything. And maybe that's true, or maybe you're afraid of being afraid. I don't know. You know, I know that all of us, to some degree, carry fears and concerns with us like baggage. In fact, I don't know if in all the years I've been doing ministry, which is over 30 years, and I've met thousands of people, I'm not real sure that I've ever met anybody who does not have a care in the world. All of us have something we're carrying, and fear actually will manifest itself in different ways. In fact, there are different, what I'm calling, secondary responses to fear. Fear's the core reason, but a secondary response could be anger. You say, well, why? Well, like, for example, let's say that you were hurt when you were young in some form or fashion, and now that you're older, if someone you discern is trying to hurt you, you get angry and defensive, you kind of lash out at them. Well, that's a secondary response to fear. Other ones could be jealousy, hurt, disappointment, embarrassment, sadness. I mean, all of us deal with these things, and sometimes these are casually interconnected emotions to fear. The one thing that I want to just say as your pastor, and just being a little transparent here, is fear is the pandemic of our culture right now as I'm seeing it. I'm not necessarily a social scientist, but I will tell you, I do try to study society and culture ongoing. I study it, and I will tell you, fear is at the core of a lot of what we're dealing with. Fear is at the core of anxiety. Fear, many times, is at the core of some of the depression that we're seeing. Fear is at the core of the political adversity that we're seeing. There's all kinds of things that fear is at the core of. And you know what? There's a lot of things to be a little scared of right now in our culture, and even in our world. Right now, there are wars that are happening that really could escalate in many ways. Some people are concerned about the American economy right now. Inflation is impacting a lot of people. In fact, cost of living, the stats show the cost of living in certain areas of cost of living are up significantly year over year. We're in an election year, right? There's a lot of fear about an election. In fact, both sides of the aisle are claiming that our democracy is hanging in the balance this November. There's a lot of fear, a lot of frustration that is surrounding that. Also, healthcare costs are up. Food costs are up. I've heard two stats, and both come from legitimate sources. I'm not sure which one is the right one, but I've heard food costs are up 7% year over year, and I've also heard the food costs are up 17% year over year. All I know is that when I go to get a quarter pounder meal at McDonald's, it's costing me now close to 10 bucks. Whereas before, it didn't cost me that, right? Food costs are up. People are looking at their personal budgets. You and me, we're looking at our personal budgets and we're seeing there's less to work with. Some industries and sectors in our society are up, and some industries are really hurting right now. And we're seeing it in all areas. I'll even say I'm seeing it here at the church as being the leader of this church. There's a lot of things I lead besides just Sunday mornings. And one of the things that I've noticed is that in the last 365 days, our property insurance just at this location alone has gone up 258% just this year alone. That's six figures of impact to this budget just this year. Some of us, though, we're worried about things well beyond politics, well beyond the economy. We're worried about our kids. We're worried about our parents. We're worried about our health. We're worried about our future. Maybe like right now you're college age or you're entering into college age and you're trying to figure out, well, what career path do I take? What career is gonna be here 10 years from now so I don't spend all this money going to college and then all of a sudden AI takes my job, right? There's all kinds of like fears right now in our culture. And many of them are rooted in legitimate realities. In other words, these fears are not unfounded, right? Then Jesus comes and asks the question we're gonna focus on today. He says this, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Boom, drop the mic, right? Jesus had to go there. You know, it's interesting because we carry these things, all of us do, to some degree, some sort of fears or anxiety or weight. And then Jesus just boils it down and he's like, hey, listen, you're stressing, you're fearing, you're not sleeping, and you're not adding any hours to your life. So he tells this this group of followers that he's asking this question to, he tells them some instructions when it comes to worry. And today I wanna talk about fear. And I wanna talk about worry. And I'm gonna be talking to what I think is a cultural pandemic of our day. I think we are in a season as Americans that is full of much fear. So let's go ahead and let's just ask this question. Is our fear really building our future or is it framing our future? Here's the story in Luke. And Jesus is talking to his followers. He says this, when Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about what your body, for what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. If you agree with that, say amen, right? I mean, life is more than this. It's more than just food. Now, food's necessary, don't get me wrong. Jesus is not saying the food is unnecessary, but he's going, what we many times will stress about or fixate about or whatever else, life is bigger than that. In fact, he even says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable, I want you to hear this, City First, how much more valuable you are than the birds. You are very much more valuable, infinitely more valuable, Jesus is saying. And he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? So there's the question. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, who was an Old Testament king, who was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth outside of Jesus. And because of his wisdom, he was insanely rich, all right? Jesus is referencing this king. Solomon, in all of his splendor, not even he was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith, he says. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, so he's acknowledging God knows that you need them, but we're fixating and worrying about it. But seek his kingdom, meaning capital H there, God, God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. In other words, he's saying, hey, little sheep, hey, kids, listen, don't be afraid. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's a good father. What a great thing to talk about on Father's Day. He's a good father. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. I'll come back to that because that's kind of radical, right? He says, then provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, for where there's no thief and no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a great sermon from Jesus that kind of really brings things to what you could call our brass tacks, to just the real things, right? Now, we can mistakenly read this little sermon, and we think that Jesus is oversimplifying an answer to a very complex situation in people's lives, because the stuff we carry is complex, and here Jesus is given this, some would even deem to be a simplistic, elementary answer. I don't think it's simplistic, and I don't think it's elementary. I think it's a question that makes us stop the gerbil running on the wheel, stop the crazy and the chaos, and think about it for a minute, and really ponder all the heavy things that we are carrying and realizing it's not adding 1 hour to our life. In 2015, myself and a very small group of friends decided that we were gonna try to attempt to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. So we landed in an airport in Tanzania and we got into a van and we were gonna attempt to climb this mountain. Kilimanjaro is the tallest freestanding mountain in the world. It's not taller than Everest, it's not taller than K2, but it is the tallest freestanding, which means it's surrounded by plains. It's 19,300 feet. And we got into a van and we started to head towards the base of Kilimanjaro. We're driving through a small little city and towns and it's like chaos and there's people in the streets and everybody's honking and no one is keeping in between the lines on the street and there's motorcycles zipping all around and people are yelling and it was absolute chaos. And we finally got to the base of Kilimanjaro and we began our 5-day ascent up to the summit, to the top. And after 7 hours on the 5th day of hiking through the night so that we could reach the summit as the sun was coming up on the horizon, we were high enough where I was literally seeing the curvature of the world, of the earth, and the sun is coming up. I remember looking back and I was above the clouds and I was looking through different gaps in the clouds and I could see the city lights as dawn was coming. I could see the city lights of the cities that we just drove through days before. And it was chaos down there. And now I'm on top of this mountain and it was silent and it was still and it was peaceful. And it was the exact antithesis or opposite of what I experienced just days before. And I was prepping this message on worry and I thought to myself, I remembered that moment on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and I think that God wants us metaphorically to do that exact same thing when it comes to fear and anxiety and worry. That he wants us to elevate our thinking, to get above the chaos, above the things that are putting fear in our hearts, to elevate to a place where we get closer to God and we can experience the peace of God. Even the Bible says, peace that passes all understanding. In fact, I think Jesus's question here and his comments that follow, I think are an invitation to actually elevate our faith. So what is he saying about worry? What is he saying about fear? Well, the first thing he's saying here is he's saying life is more than what we wear, what we eat, or what we possess. That is not the end all be all of life. Our wardrobe, what is on our dinner table or what we own is not the end game of life. Jesus, I think it's just, this is mind-blowing to me. He's talking about worry. He's asking questions about worry, and he immediately goes to possessions. He starts talking about possessions. Isn't that kind of weird? He's touching the nerve of worry, and then he starts talking about what we own. And I think, you know what he's saying is there's a fine balance between having too little and too much. Now, I want to go on the record and say this. This is my own personal theology. This is the theology of this church. And I would say it's the interpretation of how I see the Word of God, that blessings are not bad. In fact, God gives us blessings. Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. In other words, guess what? God wants to bless us. Just like on Father's Day, a good dad wants to bless his kids. There's nothing wrong with that. However, it's okay to have blessing as long as the blessing doesn't own or control you. Does that make sense? We live in a very prosperous nation. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? We need to be good stewards of it. And we also need to be grateful for it. Compared to many other nations around the world, even if our economy's a little shaky right now, it's a lot better than other economies in other nations. Here's the thing, though, Americans. Possessions should not possess you. In other words, what we own and what we have, what we achieve, should not control us or possess us. Because here's what I've discovered in life. With blessing comes some unintended burdens. In other words, the more you have, the more you have to manage. Also, human nature, the more you have, the more you want. The more you desire more. Solomon, Jesus mentioned him. Solomon lived hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. And he was the wisest man, like I said, to walk the face of the earth outside of Jesus. And the Bible says that he was so wise that he had amassed, just all these riches. In fact, people from other lands were coming just to see Solomon and his riches because he was such a shrewd and amazing business person. Well, he also wrote what we now call the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. That's written by Solomon. And this is what he says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8b through 9. He says this, give me just enough, and this is a prayer to God, give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? What is he saying there? He's like, if I get too much riches, guess what? Riches are gonna possess me. And I'm gonna forget God, and I'm gonna think that I earned all this, and I'm the man, and I'm all this, and you know, and I'm important. And so Solomon's going, don't give me too much because I may forget you, God. And then he says, but if I'm too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. In other words, I don't want to not have enough either because then I might do some shady things. So what Solomon is really praying here, and what he's asking God for, is he's saying, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to know how to manage the blessings that have been given to me and not have those blessings own me. Give me elevated thinking. Help me to get up out of the fray of everything that culture thinks about stuff and accomplishments and money and all the riches of this world. Help me to get above all that into the quietness of seeing things from a different level. You know, let me ask this City First. How much stress do we inflict upon ourselves because we strive for more rather than being content with what we already have? You know? It's an interesting thing because it's like I talk to people who many times they complain because they don't have enough, and then I talk to people who have enough and they complain because they have to manage all they have. You see, Jesus is saying here, hey, listen, guess what? Don't focus on these things, but rather elevate. What else is he saying about worry? He's saying, you cannot determine your value. And he didn't say those exact words, but this is what he means. You can't determine your own value. In other words, God values you. Your value has been established by your Creator, not your accomplishments. So God values you. And I think this is important that we understand that you and I are important to God. He tells his followers back then, and he tells us even today, he's like, listen, God the Father takes care of birds. How much more value do you have, and how much more is he going to take care of you? He infinitely values you more than everything else that he's created. You know, back when my oldest two boys were younger, when they were about 11 and 12 years old, we were on vacation out in Arizona with another family, and us parents were like, what do we do with the kids? And we're like, hey, there's a climbing place in town. Let's take them there. So went to this climbing place, and it was like an old warehouse. They'd refurbished into a climbing place, and there were all these climbing walls about 2 and 3 stories tall. It was pretty huge. And so we got the kids there, and we got them their climbing shoes, and we got them, you know, harnessed in and locked in and stuff like that. And they started to climb, all except our now middle son, Connor, who was like, I don't really like heights that much. I'm not sure this is a fun idea. And so I was like, oh, come on, buddy, you can do this. And he would get to about 8 feet off the ground, and he'd be like, that's good. I'm good, you know. And I'm like, buddy, I'm like, you can keep going. You have the physical ability to do this. Like, I mean, he has a lot of physical ability. So this was not like he couldn't do it. He could do it. He just didn't want to go any higher, right? And so I said to him, I go, buddy, I go, listen, it's okay. Because if you keep going up, if you slip, you're not going to fall because you are harnessed in, and there is a rope that is attached to your harness that goes through a pulley system that someone is hanging on to. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to fall. Nope, not going any higher. So as a dad, I was trying to encourage him, and finally, I basically resorted to bribing him. And I said to him, I go, listen, you go all the way up to the top. You go those 2, 3 stories, whatever it is. You go all the way to the top. I'm going to buy you an iPod, because he wanted an iPod. I didn't really think this through well, because then Caden is there, and he's like, hey, how about if I go to the top? Do I get an iPod? And I'm like, oh, man, now I'm on the hook for 2 iPods, right? Sure enough, Connor, he started to climb. He got up there. He got his iPod. And I think, you know, the Heavenly Father is the same way with us, minus the iPod, all right? There are things in life that we are going to have to climb over. There are things in life that we're going to have to get through a fear threshold, and we're going to have to go higher than what we want to. But we got to remember that we are tethered to the almighty, all-loving, all-powerful God who's not going to let us fall. Does that make sense? He's got you. He loves you. He has not abandoned you, even when you don't feel him. He is there. He cares for you. He's got you even in the face of your greatest fears. Do you hear that? You know, that doesn't mean that you don't do your part and I don't do my part. This is not a message that just says we sit around and God's got it and, you know, he's got it all. No, no, no. We have to work. We have to steward things well. We got to steward our money well, our time well, our energy well, our relationships well. We have to do our part, but there's only so much that we can do. Have you discovered there's only so much in life that you can control, right? There are things that are out of your control. So this is my advice to you. Give your best energy to the things that you can control and let God take care of all the things that you can't. So you give your best energy. You give your best to the things that you can control. And then you say, God, I'm going to trust you with the rest. Why? Because I'm going to climb higher than I want to. I'm going to go to places that I haven't been before. But I am convinced by faith and conviction. I am tethered to the Almighty God. And you got me. So I'm going to do what I can, but you got to do the rest. What else is Jesus saying here about worry and fear? Number 3, he's saying that your focus builds fear of faith. So in other words, what you focus on, what you focus your attention and your heart on, builds either fear or faith. What were his words? I'm going to go back into Luke here. He said, and do not set your heart. Now, this is another way of saying do not focus on. Yeah. Okay? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. So what is he saying there? Don't focus on these things. What are we to focus on? But seek, let me use the word focus, but focus on his kingdom, God's kingdom, and these things that we stress over will be given to us as well. So don't focus on the things that we're stressing on. Don't focus on the problems. Don't focus on the concerns, but rather focus on God's kingdom. What's God's kingdom? What does that mean? Well, God's kingdom is easy defined as this. It is God's way of doing things, and it's him himself. So when you focus on a kingdom way of living, it's living according to the word of God, living according to God's commands, but most importantly, focus in your heart on a good king, on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, on Jesus himself. So Jesus, what he's doing here is he's drawing attention to what draws our attention. Let me say it again. In this statement, God is basically drawing attention to what draws our attention. I've discovered that fear and cholesterol have a lot in common. You can't pray either of them away, but rather you can change your diet of what you take in. You hear that? So when it comes to fear, you can change your diet of what you're ingesting. In the same way, to influence your cholesterol level, you have to change your diet, what you're ingesting. Some of us, we have so much fear, so much worry, because all we're doing is we're on a steady diet of things that give us fear. We're binging on current events. We're binging on the future, a negative future, worst case scenarios. We're binging on all of this stuff. We're consuming wrong conversations. We're taking in large amounts of negativity, and our heart is beginning to calcify, and all of a sudden, it's beginning to fill with all kinds of worry, all kinds of fear. And Jesus is saying, hey, be careful what you set your heart on. Be careful what you give your attention to. I'll be honest with you. There's just some things that I don't take in. People ask me, hey, here, have you heard about this? Or this is happening in the world or whatever else. I am not a person that puts like an ostrich head in the sand. I'm not that person. I keep tabs on current events to a degree. But listen, there are people, friends of mine, that they are on the news or online, or they are researching all kinds of things 24/7, and then they're living with such fear and worry. It's because they're taking in this diet of negativity and all of the things that they cannot control, and then they can't sleep at night. I'll tell you, anything you give your attention to, you empower. I'm gonna let that sit there for a minute. Anything you give your attention to, you empower. Like, if you are constantly focusing on all the problems in your life, all the shortcomings in your life, then you're empowering those things to lead you. If you're constantly doing that, so Jesus is saying, I'm gonna give you a solution. Don't set your heart on all the cares of this world, because trust me, there's a lot of things you could focus on. It will consume you. But instead, seek God's kingdom, and all the things that you need will be given to you as well. You see, if you seek God's way of living and also his way of thinking and his relationship with you, he will empower you to live a life. You will be empowered through him. Maybe this question would best maybe put it in perspective. What has worry done for you lately? Has it added to your life anything other than stress and anxiety? What has worry done for you? I grew up in the 80s. There was that Janet Jackson song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? All right. I'm like, what has worry done for you lately? Nothing. It's just added weight. It's just added all of the heaviness. It's made you extremely fearful of the future. You're fixating on worst case scenarios. Whereas seeking God and his way of living, That adds to your life, but what does it add? It doesn't add a burden, it adds peace. It adds strength. It adds confidence in a God who loves you, that you are tethered to, that as you climb past your fear threshold, that he's got you, right? So it adds blessing and benefit to your life. Last thing that Jesus is saying in this passage, he's saying, put your treasure where you want your heart to be. And I think this is kind of interesting because he starts out the thought with worry and he ends his sermon, you could say, about treasure. Now, I just think this is interesting, okay? We gotta look into why did Jesus say these things? Jesus did not waste words, all right? So why is he saying, do not be afraid, little flock? In other words, don't be afraid, little ones. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, I'm gonna come back to that, like I promise. You know, provide purses. In other words, make sure that you have purses that don't just wear out, have holes in them, money just keeps cycling through. A treasure in heaven will never fail you, where there's no thief and there's no moth to destroy whatever you acquire. And then he goes on to say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I want you to keep that up there a minute. In red, where your treasure is, look at the chronological order of that. Where your treasure is, it's already there, your heart will be. So first, treasure's there, and your heart follows. Wherever your treasure is, your heart follows. So I want you to think of it like GPS, all right? When you go to like put a pin in on your smartphone, whether it's Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever, you put the pin there and then you hit directions and it takes you from your present location to where the pin is or the address that you inserted, all right? Think of this, the pin or the address is your treasure and then your heart navigates its way towards it, okay? That's what Jesus is saying here. Like, I don't believe that Jesus is literally saying after church City First, y'all go home, put everything you own up on Facebook Marketplace, sell it all, give the money to the Salvation Army. Okay, I don't think that's what he's saying, okay? I don't think he's saying that. What he's really saying here is this. It's a mindset. Hang on loosely to everything that won't show up in heaven. That's what he's saying. Hang on loosely to everything that won't show up in heaven. 99% of what we are stressing about, worrying about, working towards, won't end up in heaven. Like, I've never seen a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. I mean, the stuff that we're worried about, the stuff that stresses us out, the stuff that we're striving for ain't going with us. And so Jesus is saying, those things aren't bad, just hang on to them loosely because they're not going with you. Your job isn't going with you. Your bank account or 401k is not going with you. Your Jordans aren't going with you. Your the new sweater, of course it's summertime, the new shorts, whatever it is, that you're wanting, the new couch, the new TV, the new job, all of those things are great. There's nothing wrong with them, but none of them are going with you. So don't hang on to them tightly. And Jesus is saying the treasure leads your heart. In other words, where you're investing your treasure, what's treasure? Your time, your talents and abilities, and your resources, meaning your money. So your time, your talent, and your money, that's your treasure, okay? And Jesus is saying that leads your heart. So be careful where you're investing those things. In other words, he's saying you must choose to have your heart lead your treasure, not your treasure lead your heart. Y'all with me still? You understanding this? You see, here's the thing. We think where my heart is, there my treasure's gonna be. No, it's actually the other way around. In other words, where you invest your treasure, your time, your talent, your money, that's where your heart navigates towards. So we ask the question, where do I want my heart to be? Where do I want my heart to be? Well, hopefully first and foremost, you want your heart to be with God. So therefore, a portion of your treasure, your time and your talent and your money should go towards God. And what else should you put it towards? Well, I want my heart to be in my family. Okay, then make sure you put your treasure there. Don't let treasure lead your heart away from your family. Instead, you say, I'm gonna give my time, my talent, and my resource towards my family, towards the things, because I want my heart to go there. You see, your heart follows, but your heart must choose. Whatever you're presently investing in, your time, your talent, and your money, your heart is drifting there. It really is. It's kind of like when you want to buy a new car and you're like, man, I want a Jeep. Let's call it a Jeep. And all of a sudden you start noticing all the Jeeps, right? It's because your heart is following that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Go buy a Jeep, as long as you can afford it. Go buy a Jeep, okay? But here's the thing. That Jeep ain't going with you. So what do you need to do to make sure your treasure is in the eternal and not just the temporal? You gotta make choices, right? Because Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that if we hang on to earthly things loosely, and we invest into eternal things greatly, our hearts will focus on God, who gives us everything that we need. So, as we worry, let's make sure that we say, God, I'm not gonna carry worry anymore. I'm gonna focus on a kingdom way of living. I'm not gonna carry worry anymore, but rather instead, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna elevate above all of the chaos of what's happening in culture right now, or even in my world. As worry is tempting to get into my heart, I'm gonna remember that you love me and you value me way more than even the animals or anything else that is beautiful that you've created. I have such high value to you. I'm tethered to you. You will take care of me. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that God, we are highly valued by you. Thank you, God, that in a world that stresses about all kinds of things that are temporary, that are not eternal, that God, you will help us to focus in on the fact that you love us, you created us, and we want our hearts to be gravitated to you, the eternal. Lord, help us not to carry worry. There's a lot to worry about right now, and I know there's a lot of people that are worrying. God, may today we remember this simple but life-changing message and the question that you ask, is that worry adding even an hour to our life? No. So therefore, we focus our hearts upon you, and upon your way of living. We love you in Jesus' name. With every head bowed real quickly and eyes closed, if you say, I wanna give my life to Jesus today, I'm worrying because I'm trying to lead my life on my own and I realize there's things that are out of my control and I need God. I need God to come in and forgive me for all that I've done wrong. I want God to be the leader of my life. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand and put it right back down again. Yeah, hands are up everywhere. I guarantee you at every location. Will you all repeat this prayer to me, whether you raised your hand or you didn't? We're all gonna say this together, okay? As a whole congregation right now, let's say this prayer together, but God is listening specifically to your voice. Ready? Here we go. Jesus, I come to you today and I give you my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Forgive me all that I've done wrong. I believe that you died for me. I wanna live for you. Thank you for valuing me and loving me with an unconditional love. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, put your hands together, all right?
What an absolutely powerful message by Pastor Jeremy. Wow, so practical, so helpful. And yeah. So hopefully you're able to glean something from that you can take with you this week and kind of think about. And if you made that decision to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, congratulations. That is the best decision that you will ever make. Absolutely life-changing. And maybe you made that decision, you're going, hey, what now? What's next? Well, there's a couple of things that we want to help you with. The first one is this. Let somebody know. Let a friend, maybe a family member, somebody that's local to you, that you're going, hey, this I made this decision. Or if you're going, hey, I don't really have anybody, let one of the pastors know on the chat. You should simply drop it in there. Let them know you made that decision. We want to come alongside you and begin this journey of faith alongside you. You're not designed to do this thing alone. You need to go with somebody. And so we want to do that. The second thing is this. We have a resource that we would love to place in your hand. There's a QR code on the screen in front of you, and you can just simply scan that. And it's just a New Beginnings resource, and it simply just answers some of the basic questions like, what now? Like, where do I start reading? How do I pray? And it begins to answer some of those fundamental questions that you may have. And we want you to take that resource and be able to use it on your journey of faith. And then Pastor Mark's going to tell you about a third thing we'd love for you to do.
Yeah, once you walk through that New Beginnings resource, a great next step in your faith journey is Growth Track.
Absolutely, yeah.
Through Growth Track, you'll have an opportunity to literally experience your God-given purpose and find out the way that He would love for you to live your life.
Yeah.
Growth Track is open to everyone, and it will also open up life groups. It'll open up your opportunity to serve on a dream team here at City First Church, and it will literally open up new opportunities for you in your life.
Absolutely. And you know, if you're going through something right now and you say, man, I would love to have somebody pray with me and pray for me, we would love to do that. You can put it simply there in the chat, or you can get the app and open the app and drop a prayer request in there. But we have teams that are praying constantly throughout the week, and we would love to be able to pray with you and pray for you. So if that's something that you need or that you would want, feel free to let us know. The second thing is this. I know there's a lot that's happening, and there may be a lot of questions that you have. Maybe it's about a journey, your journey of faith. Maybe it's about some things that are happening here at City First Church. We would love to help you. We'd love to answer as many of the questions as we can. And so if you want to reach out to us, you can drop it in the chat there. You can do it online. You can do it on our app, but also on any of our social media platforms. We obviously are on all those different media platforms. And so you can shoot a DM. We have people that are checking that and be able to help answer any questions that you have. And you know, just different ways that we can encourage you. And so thank you so much for being a part of the City First Church family.
Yeah, and we want you to also know that today's message will be available on demand throughout the week.
Yep.
So if the message was an encouragement to you, if the service was an encouragement to you, copy the link, send it to a friend so it can be an encouragement to them.
Yep.
And we want to say thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
We hope that you had an incredible service with us. We look forward to seeing you next week. And to all the dads, happy Father's Day.
Father's
Have an incredible week.